Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll ask you a couple questions, see what you think about them in your head. What happens when you go to a restaurant and the service or the food isn't very good? What happens when you go to the doctor and the doctor isn't very nice or seems to be very interested in you? What happens when you pull off the car, the new car off the lot, and it doesn't perform the way that you expected it to? We don't have much patience, do we? You guys were all saying, oh, we'd put up with it, we'd do it again, right? No. We don't take very long to say, that's not right, and we're going to tell all our friends about it, too. We like to get what we're expecting, and when it doesn't turn out, there's got to be something to be done about it. That's an interesting thing to think about, is how we react when something doesn't do what's expected. But in our lesson tonight, we have an occurrence when Jesus isn't expecting what he finds. Well, he was trying to tell his disciples that lesson. He certainly knew what was going to happen. But let's look at this lesson and see what causes such a stir. And how Jesus responds to something that doesn't turn out like he expects it. The next day, when they went out from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree with leaves, he went to find out if there was anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. That in itself is kind of amazing. I mean, we know that Jesus knew all things, and he probably had better eyesight than us. Why did he decide to even go to that fig tree if he knew it didn't have any figs on it? Why did he bother even thinking about that fig tree when he had so many things going on that last week of his life here on this earth before he was put to death? Well, the component of what is all going on is that this was a lesson that his disciples could learn. And maybe I can show you a kind of a visually too. I'll kind of tell you about what I'm expecting. So this is an olive tree. You can see the words on there, olive. Couldn't really cover it up. I guess I could have put something over top. Whatever. It's an olive tree. It wasn't a fig tree. I wanted something that would take some work. And I thought that I would be able to get some olives from this tree, so I thought, hey, why not? Let's try it. Well, after I got it, then I read the fine print. It will take 3 years before it produces fruit. I'm not sure if I have that much patience, right? I have to make sure it's in the sunniest place in my house, and that means I might have to move it from place to place because nothing gets sun all the time. I have to make sure it gets all the water that it needs, and I need to make sure that it's down to like 2 inches, and then I start to water it. I need to make sure that probably it needs fertilizer at some point. I need to keep it away from the cats, because the cats are going to get it for sure. And I also need to keep it away from my wife. Don't tell her that. I hope this isn't going to go seen to her. Things don't make it if they're plants in my house. But I was determined. I'm going to spend the time needed because I want some olive fruit. Well, I hope that it survives all the times that I take it to all the other different churches, but I'm expecting that I'm going to get olives from that. Otherwise, I could have got a very nice plant with just flowery leaves for a whole lot less than that olive tree. But it's expected. Right? I got this olive tree so that it can produce olives, nothing else. Jesus had lessons for his disciples about fig trees because it was something that was always around them. It was one of the largest producers of things for the people during his day. And they would often be 15 to 20, maybe even 25 feet tall. And they were so good at producing that they could have 2 or 3 harvests during the year. So even if they didn't have leaves, they might still have figs. So that's where Mark says that it wasn't the season for producing figs. But if there were leaves, it probably was the season or was the time they could have gotten figs. So Jesus walked up to this fig tree because he expected that after all the work and time put into that fig tree, he should get fruit. But that's not what he found. He found something that was unexpected. Now, what he did is he told that tree, "You will never produce fruit again." Now what happens after Jesus does that? Because he goes right past the very same spot, and you would think that he would have to have made that a purpose for his disciples. Early in the morning, as they were passing by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." What do you get from that lesson? Maybe you start to put in your mind another lesson that Jesus taught about fig trees. He told a parable. He said there was this owner of a vineyard that had a fig tree, and he went to this fig tree and it didn't find figs at all. And it kept going and it didn't produce. So he told the gardener to wipe it out. Says, "I've got other things I could plant here. I got good soil. There's no reason to use this fig tree here." But the gardener said, "Let me put the time in. Let me put the effort in. Let me put the work and the fertilizer and the water and the tender care. And then if it doesn't, well then, might as well." Right? Because a fig tree, or an olive tree without olives, is pointless. We can always find another tree. But when Jesus didn't find what he expected, he did something. He said, "I don't want to see this tree again." And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That tree was pointless, and so it withered down to the roots. That shocked the disciples. Why do you think that is? What happens when you don't get service at a restaurant, or the car doesn't perform, or your portfolio doesn't give dividends? Get rid of it, right? Time to the next. You don't have time to spend on stuff like that. There's plenty of other things. Ooh, what do you think Jesus is meaning when he does this for his disciples? The reality is that we can be just like that fig tree, right? We hear that word of God. We listen to what he's done. We know what he has done in baptism, where he washes away our sins and we receive Jesus' body and blood. And then we go out these doors. We don't look like Christians all the time, do we? Oh, and if someone might possibly even think about letting our words and our actions stand by each other, look out. Don't look at our hearts and our heads, right? We know how many times we've been impatient with people when they haven't done what we've expected. And when we hear God's word, we say, "But I don't really feel like it today. My offerings are just my leftovers, not exactly the first fruits." Someone else talks back to me, I mean, they deserve it, right? If I give them the cold shoulder. The congregation that looks at just what it has right now and is holding on to what it has isn't calling on God to do the miracle of providing opportunity for us. And so we act just like that fig tree. A lot of leaves, a lot of show, a lot of words, but no real fruit. That's kind of scary. Because there it is, when Jesus says, "You will never produce fruit again," it is done and gone. There's no point. No wonder the disciples were kind of worried. What is Jesus going to say or do next? But the reality is, that's why Jesus' footsteps took him to that tree. That's why those footsteps of Jesus didn't stop when he could have used 20/20 eyesight or foresight. When he prayed the words that we just heard in our passion history about this cup that God was giving him. Oh wait, I'm not talking about the tree of the fig tree. I'm talking about the tree of the cross. You see, what our Savior saw in us were all the times that we were fruitless. All the times that we took it for granted, someone else can do the job, and it's not really up to me all the time. I mean, who can produce all the time anyway? That's why Jesus went to the tree of a cross. He went there so that he could give his very fruitful life, his life that was perfect and without any blemish or any problems, with all the fruit on it. And he said, here, I'm going to give this over to these people who have not earned it or deserved it. That is the almighty word of God. That he has the power to say, your time is up, you've done nothing, and yet he shows mercy to us and gives us yet another day to expect some fruit, the hope, the care, that we hear his word, so that we might not be that tree that is set off to the side for the burning pile. But there's one more point that Jesus wanted to make to his disciples about this fig tree that didn't produce. And he wanted his disciples to see the power of prayer when someone is praying, I want this to be done. And this is how he goes about telling them. Jesus replied to them, have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Think of the power of prayer Jesus is talking about. He demonstrated to his disciples using that fig tree as an example. That if you trust in what God has promised to you, he will take care of it. But we say, well, I prayed for so-and-so that they would get better, and they didn't. They died. I asked for my job to be better, but it didn't happen. I asked for this, and I asked for that, and things just didn't work out the way that I wanted. There we're forgetting that it is God who controls all those things, right? God who says, I am going to take care of you and give you the very best. We have our determination what is best. And we fail to see how God is directing our lives to trust in him. So the power of prayer rests not in ourselves, but in the God who tells us what he's going to do. And that's why Jesus would say, if you believe that this tree is going to be uprooted, it can be thrown into the sea. But that would just try to get attention, wouldn't it? If I was able to move around the landscaping in the parking lot or move a few cars out of my way, that would get a lot of attention. Wouldn't produce any fruit. That's why Jesus says to trust in what God is doing for us and pray that we are going to receive it. And you know what? The most powerful part of prayer is the very next verse that Jesus tells his disciples. What is most important in our prayers is not praying that I get the things that I want or what I've determined in my head, but that I actually practice forgiveness. Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoing. You see, that is trusting God. Not that I'm going to get my way or someone else is going to get their just reward. Because honestly, if we would, we'd be like, well, I hope not that olive tree. The fig tree that Jesus showed. Without any fruit, done. But when we have opportunity to forgive someone, we do so because we've been shown forgiveness. That is the power of prayer. Lord, work in my heart so that I can reflect what you have done for me. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to wait with me with these olive trees. I guess if you've got really good memory, you can ask me in 3 years when I rotate around again, how did that olive tree turn out? But I don't want you to remember an olive tree. I want you to remember a fig tree. I want you to remember a fig tree that showed Jesus power, that he could just speak to it and it would be done. But I want you to remember what it is that Jesus was looking from that fig tree. He was expecting it to produce fruit. So therefore, we have an opportunity to show fruit for what we've received. And don't forget about prayer. Prayer is that connection that we have to God that we can ask for things and be confident in them because he has promised them to us. Not to move away the shrubbery, but to see that his will is done. Amen.